On with our series in Galatians, and today we're looking at chapter 2, verse 16 to 19, so why don't you open your Bibles there. I want to go back to 2004. It was a good year. Something had changed. 2003 had been a year of shame. As a rugby team, we got knocked out of the World Cup. Terribly. A lot of embarrassment. Rudolf Strahli days. Nothing against him, but we just associate those days with him as a coach. And then something happened in 2004. Jake White arrived. He knew something had changed when we saw those early games against Ireland. And then the first game against New Zealand in New Zealand, and it looked like we were competitive. We hadn't seen that in years. We were quite shocked. We were even happy to lose just because we were on the same field. It was amazing. I don't know if you remember that. Just bear with me if you don't like rugby. There is a point, so just try, hang on, and stay with me here. And so, and it was late August 2004 that around this time I'd met an old Springbok in the Ambers, Mr. Howard Watt, who was part of the famous Springbok team that had won 5 games. Whitewashed the All Blacks in New Zealand. I mean, South Africa's only won 10 games in New Zealand ever, and he was there with the 5 in one series. I mean, they were legends. This man was an interesting man to talk to. Now I'm digressing, but anyway, he bowled Donald Bradman out twice in Chicago. So, I mean, who knows what the pitch looked like? It was probably like a diamond or something. Lived in Chicago as well in the 20s. Watched Babe Ruth play baseball. I don't know. Maybe I've just left all of you behind. But man, it was like interesting talking to this man. What a legend. And so in late August 2004, Howard Watt made a ticket available for me because he was an old Springbok. All the Springboks were sent a ticket to the closest Springbok game, home game, to them. And he was sent a ticket to the game in Durban in August 2004 when everything had changed. Jake White was on the scene, and so it was really quite awesome. And I'm going to ask Kayla just to put up a picture there. And so I got to go, and I don't know if you can see me, but I not many of you know this, but I'm in this picture. I might be hidden by Buckies' arm there, up there, in the nosebleeds. But I don't remember Buckies' arm in my face, so it must be one of the guys that you can actually see there. So I'm there. I was in this moment. And what a moment it was. We won the Tri Nations in 2004 after a year of shame. We couldn't believe it. It was this game, John Smith, as the captain, had been offered by some fan a new 4x4 Toyota Raider double cab Bucky if he would just make a few tickets available. I mean, that's how crazy this game was. I went with Mike Cruiser and Rich and Abby Pratt, and it was amazing. I believed, I had faith that we could do it. I mean, I was proven right. This is a cup. I had faith, so I went. Some people, it might be different for you. It might have been, I believed, so I turned on the TV yesterday morning. Or I went to a friend's house to watch. I remember I organized the Big Bra 2007 World Cup final. I believed, so we organized a big day. Faith always leads to action. I believed, so I went. I bought some biltong. I bought a lot of biltong. I even shared with the people around me. I mean, that's saying something, right? Eh? It's amazing, the generosity of spirit that comes from victory. I believed that the Springboks were strong, but my belief did not make them strong. My belief did not do the work. Having faith didn't make the Springboks win that game against Australia and win the Tri Nations that year. My faith accessed me to to be part of the victory. That's all it did. The Springboks had their own faith that they could win. They had belief. They had a decent coach, a great game plan. And for once, they weren't just relying on heart and just like, let's see if we can run into a tree trunk. And, you know, they were actually using, I mean, it was amazing. It felt like they were using, I mean, dare I say it, their brains. I mean, it was amazing. And they had faith. And they were faithful to execute the game plan on the field. And that's why we won. It wasn't because in the nosebleeds up there, I believed. But my faith accessed me into that park where their win was my win. I identified with the Springboks. I'm South African. They are my team. They are there for me. After this game, I went around saying, we are the Tri-Nations champions. What did I do? I did nothing. I did nothing. When we won the 2007 World Cup, I went around, wow, we are the best rugby players in the world. And my friends are like, you're useless. It doesn't matter. We are the world champions. We are the best in the world. They represented me. I identified with them. I changed my clothes. I put on clothes to show that this is my team. I wore the green and gold. I got the best I could. I wanted everybody to know I'm with them. In fact, even when I went to New Zealand in 2010, there was no rugby that I got to watch. But boy, I remember walking on a beach. I mean, you guys are going to think I'm crazy. And like, I found this shark's towel. And I mean, no one ever walks on the beach like I did with that towel. But I somehow hung it over my shoulder and I had my arm sticking out just a little bit so everybody in the New Zealand beach could see, I am a shark. I'm not one of you. I'm a fan. I don't know if anyone can relate. I mean, I must have thought like, yes, these weirdos walking on the beach just with a shark's towel like this. But that was me. I wanted them to know. When we went around Christchurch, the Crusaders, I wanted them to know, I'm not with you. I'm a shark. I'm a Springbok. When we went around the Waikato Chiefs and some guy was arguing with me and when he found out I was a South African, a Saffa as he called me, and he was starting to like give me a hard time, what I wanted to say, but I just didn't have the words at the time, I wanted to say was, it's nice to hear you talking for a change because we normally just hear you choking when it comes to World Cups. But I didn't think of that at the time. And so I just said, oh, you've got lots to say. Well, let's see what you can do on the field. Unfortunately, the next year they won the World Cup. Okay, this is where the picture of Christ and salvation in the Springboks really differs. Okay. He never loses. And I'm a fan. I want to go to away games. I want to wear the kits. I want to identify myself. And I think it's a great picture of what Jesus has done. You know, sometimes we talk about it says you are saved by faith and we think that our faith did it. No, our faith didn't do it. It was the faith of Jesus and the faithfulness of Jesus that has done it all. We weren't even alive when he did it. So what did our faith do to help the victory? Nothing. We just believed and we accessed into his victory. We identified with him. We put on a new jersey. I wanted everybody to know. I mean, I love that first love. I want everyone to know I'm with him. I identify. He died, I died. When he lives, I live. How it goes with him, it goes with me. When the Springboks have a good Sunday like yesterday, then I'm up like this. I mean, a good Saturday, I'm up like this morning. When they have a bad day, I've got to deal with a bit of grumpiness on a Sunday morning. How it goes with them, it goes with me. How much more with Christ? How it goes with him, it goes with me. I am in Christ. He did it for me. My faith simply accesses his victory. It simply identifies me with him. And so that's a point I want to make up front. You know, we sometimes think, wow, we need such great faith. You know, it's about our faith. It's relying on how great your faith is, whether you are saved or whether you walk with Christ. I want to say, it just takes this, a mustard seed of faith, just enough faith just to access you into the room and to identify with his great faith and his great faithfulness. I mean, I was such a fan. I was reading the magazines. I was reading online stuff. I was reading Jake White's plans. I was reading all of it. The more I read, the more I believed over those 4 years leading up to 2007. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Faith is not just something that we make up, positive thinking. It's based on substance, on what God has promised. And that in the past, God has always been good to what he's promised, faithful to what he's promised. And so, yeah, great. Non-rugby ones, I hope you're still with us. I mean, I don't know. Just, you know, just put Roger Federer there or Muhammad Ali and I don't know. Someone might have been, well, I believed. I believed they were strong. I believed the Springboks could have won, but I did nothing. I didn't even turn the TV on. Well, if you believed, but you did nothing, you did not get to share in the celebration of the victory. Think about it. Oh, no, I knew they would win. What did you do? Oh, no, I didn't do anything. I did no action. Okay, faith with no action. Did you really believe? Yeah, no, I believed. But did you share in the joy? Did you walk around like a crazy fan? No, you didn't, because you didn't see anything. You didn't see how they played. You didn't watch that. You weren't there among the fans. This is interesting, because we're dealing with Galatians, which is about justification by faith. It's about being saved and coming to Christ through faith. Just through faith, not through our works or our efforts. But there's a very interesting scripture, and I'm going to read a couple, but this Galatians 2:16 says, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus." So Paul is saying in Galatians that we are justified not by works, but by faith. Not by works of the law, but by faith. But there might be some of you who are worried because you might have read this in James chapter 2, verse 24. And he says, "You see, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." Whoa. Is the Bible agreeing with each other here? Have we got a problem? So Paul says, we're justified by faith alone. James says we're not justified by faith alone, but by works. But actually, if you look at it, they are in full agreement. And they are dealing with this rugby scenario that I'm talking about. Paul is saying all you need is faith. All you need is faith. And you access Christ's faith and Christ's faithfulness and all that he's done and promised. James is saying, you say you've got faith, but I don't see an action. You didn't go to the game. You didn't put on the jersey. But you say you believed. He's saying, I don't believe your faith. He's not saying you're not saved by faith. He's saying, if you have the right kind of faith, real faith always leads to action. There's no faith that's, oh, you know, just indifference, stay at home, don't turn the TV on, don't watch, don't go to the bar you were invited to. That's ridiculous. Then you're not going to share in the victory. There's always action involved with real faith. But all it takes is real faith. That's all it takes. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the Lord Jesus. I'm a huge fan. I've got the jersey. The robes of righteousness. Thank you, Lord. I'm wearing them. I'm wearing them. I identify with him. I'm proud of him. I let my friends know, even who don't know him. I let them know. I'm with him. I'm a fan. I want to go to the away games. I'm a crazy fan. I love this more than most. I mean, you know, when I went to that Springbok that day, that one there, if it was up there just now, we went so early. We had a bra before. We walked around and we met people. We even ate their bra food. Even though I had my biltong stashed in my bag, which I didn't show anyone until we were up there. We made a day of it. There was no other plan on my agenda that day. When the Springboks come to Durban, I've got one thing in my diary, Springboks. I got so offended with a friend of my brother-in-law once, where he came to the game and they had all the tickets and he thought he would arrive half an hour before the game. I was so cross with him. I had words with him. He wasn't even my brother-in-law's friend. I had words with him before the game because he arrived so late. And of course, he got stuck in the traffic. And we almost missed the anthems. It's ridiculous. I had words with him. I was like, what were you thinking? It's Springbok Day. There's one thing on your diary. You don't think I'm going to do this, that, and then go to the game. You go to the game all day. That's it. When it's Springbok game, I go watch Schoolboy, I go watch Glenwood, then we go watch Northwood. Sometimes we watch college, and then we go to the game. We like build up to the game. It's a whole deal. I'm a fan. Okay, some of you think I'm crazy. I am crazy. I tell you, I'm the first one here. Not this morning, I'm not lying. But I'm the first one here, and I'm the last to leave. I am a fan. I'm in. I wear my colors. I love to be. I don't want to miss. I'm reading. Okay. Anyway, I'm supposed to have hit it on now with the Bible. Now I'm back to rugby. Oh, my goodness. I just with this picture, we're not trying to fight the All Blacks on our own. That works. That's ridiculous. You're never gonna do it. You let the Springboks do that on your behalf. Christ, this is what Galatians is all about. It's like if you try and do this yourself, if you try and do this by works, it's like saying, I'm gonna take the All Blacks on by myself and we're gonna win the World Cup. That is ridiculous. You're never gonna do it. It's the same with this. Your righteousness will never do it. You will never have victory. The only victory is by faith identifying that the one who knows what he's doing, the one who has great faith and who is faithful to execute and who's done it, Jesus, relying on him to do it for us and now his Holy Spirit to do it in us. All right. And so, I've read in the ESV, Galatians 2:16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, through us believing in Jesus, so that we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. No one will be in right standing by trying to do it on their own. Now, I really love how the Passion Translation puts it, and I'm going to read it because it deals with some of what's in the Greek when it talks about faith in Christ, what it deals with. And it says, we know full well that we don't receive God's perfect righteousness or justification as a reward for keeping the law, but by the faith of Jesus, by the faith of Jesus, the Messiah, and his faithfulness, not ours, has saved us, and we have received God's perfect righteousness. Now we know that God accepts no one by the keeping of religious laws. And friends, what happens there is there's this word that speaks of faith in Christ, but there's a question. It could mean the faith of Christ, and it could also mean the faithfulness of Christ. I hope you're with me. So there's this word that it talks about there. It could be either three of those. It could be my faith in Christ, or it could be Christ's own faith when he lived here and walked this earth. Or it could mean his faithfulness. Friends, I think they're synonymous. They're all exactly the same. Because my faith, like I've been telling us with this rugby game, simply accesses his faith. And by the way he lived in faith as human, he was faithful. And it's his faithfulness that has done the work. And why do I labor on this morning? It's simple, because I've tried in the past to grow my faith, to strengthen my faith. And the more I look at my own faith and examine it, it's flawed. Some days I have faith. Other days I don't have faith. I'm just being honest. There's times where I've got zero faith. I feel like I'm just hanging on. Are you with me? And if that's what we're relying on, then we're in trouble. If we're relying on the extent of how macho my faith is, or yours. But the point is that what we are relying on is the faith of Christ. The perfect faith of Christ. And the perfect faithfulness of Christ. And friends, I want to say to us and encourage us, when we focus on the perfect faith of Christ and the perfect faithfulness of Christ, there's something that happens. Our faith grows. It grows. And so I want to encourage us as a way to grow that. Yeah. Faith grows not by trying to be a great person of faith. Reliance is not on you and your faith. I want to say to us, be a fan. Be a fan. Be crazy about Jesus. Show up. Read about him. Listen to him. Listen to his game plan. Listen to his promises. Just be a fan. Be after him. That first love that Elliot was talking about. Just be after him with everything you've got. Take everything he's got for you. Put the robes of righteousness on. Just take everything he's got for you. Be a fan. When we look at Christ like this, when we follow Christ like a fan, I'm telling you, faith will grow. Your faith will grow automatically. You cannot just keep your eyes on Jesus and on his faith and faithfulness without your own faith growing. He's rock solid. Amen. Verse 17, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too are found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. The message says, have some of you noticed that we are not perfect yet? No great surprise, right? And you are ready to make the accusation that since people like me who go through Christ in order to get things right with God aren't perfectly virtuous, Christ therefore must be an accessory to sin. This accusation is frivolous. The accusation is, with this good news, is that the ungodly get to come. This is a gospel, this is good news for the ungodly. And so when the ungodly, people like you and people like me, come to Christ, surely we are dragging his good name down by being in union with him, by being one with Christ. So that's the accusation, that this gospel is too easy. It's too simple. Now bad people are coming to Jesus. Bad people are coming to God. And if you guys are one with God and you're such bad people, yes, I mean, I'm pointing at you and at me. I'm talking about you guys. Yeah, I'm not talking about other people this time. Normally we do. This time I'm talking about you. Bad people like you and like me. Surely we're dragging his name down. This is not right. Surely we should have righteous people who are right in themselves who can come to God once they've got their life sorted out and they've worked everything out and they've stopped all their addictions and they've become perfect and they've given stuff away to the poor, then they can come to God. This is wrong. That's the accusation here that Paul's dealing with. Paul's saying it's ridiculous. This is good news for the ungodly, because righteousness has been made known. The righteousness of God, apart from trying to be right in ourselves. And that's what God has given the ungodly, sinners, like you and I, making us righteous. So do we drag down His name because we're not as amazing as He is? He is holy, and yet we are sinners, and now we represent Him. We're His ambassadors on earth. And yet we're not perfect, and yet He's perfect. How do we, imperfect people, how are we ambassadors for the perfect God? I mean, I just think of, you know, people who, you know, put a little fish on their business sign, you know, and they say, this is a Christian business. You know, you do business with those guys, and they tell you, no, I'm very quickly, this is a Christian business. I mean, I've never been in a church meeting where I've seen Christian businesses come forward and respond to the gospel. Have you? Christian business, like saying, I want to follow Jesus. I mean, I don't know. Some of you seem to be a little lost right now. And it's quite interesting. Often the Christian business is the first guy who's not going to pay you, not going to do the job right, and he's just going to expect that you should forgive him. What am I getting at? We've heard that talk. No, don't do business with those guys in church. They are the worst. Hey? You guys know what I'm talking about. This is the first time you're hearing it. You don't know. Elliot doesn't know. We haven't got it together. Church is full of people who are less than perfect. Friends, this is the right place for us. People who haven't got it together, for the ungodly, for those of us who have addictions, for those of us who have messed up backgrounds, those of us who are divorced, those of us who, you name it, what we've done, this is the right place for us, and Jesus is the right Savior. He's called the ungodly. He said, I didn't come for the righteous, I came for the sick. The doctor doesn't go for the healthy, he comes for the sick. I'm mixing the stories there. I came for the unrighteous, I came for the ungodly. This is for us. Now we should be a fan and we should represent Him well. And there should be growth in our lives. But when we come as we are. As messed up as we are. And none of us should point a finger at any other one of us and turn each other away because of an earring where you wouldn't have put one in your own ear or some other part or a tattoo or something else or some other thing that we wouldn't do. There's only one reason we're here, right? Is we were ungodly. We are ungodly, needing a Savior, needing the righteousness of God, right? And so there's no space for finger pointing. There's only place here for welcoming every person who comes in and saying, you're in the right place. Because that's what happened to us. The accusation is, Romans 4:5 says, to the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteous. This is what God does. The accusation is that Paul's teaching dishonors Christ because according to his teaching, all these ungodly people are supposedly one with Christ. And Paul turns this accusation around and he just says, Paul says, I don't see anything. I'm putting it in my own words. Go read it up to 19 and up to 21, actually. I put it in my own words. Paul turns it on his head and he says, actually, I don't see anything more dishonoring of Christ than to consider leaving the form of God, coming down humbly as man, and then shedding His blood on the cross for us, dying for us, rising again to new life so that the righteousness of God could be ours, that we could be saved, considering all this great work that Christ has done and saying, you know what? Jesus, you wasted your time. I don't need it. I can do this myself. Trying to be righteous by ourselves, by the law, is saying that to Christ. There's nothing more dishonoring of Christ than that. That's actually the greatest sin right there. Are you with me? what Paul says. He says at the end in verse 21, if you want to do works of the law, then Christ died for nothing. You're saying you wasted your blood. It's a slap in the face to Christ. The greatest way to honor Christ. Say, Lord, I'm a mess. I haven't got it together. I haven't got this. I can't do it. I need your blood. I need your blood to cover me. I need your righteousness. I need you to fight this for me. I need you to do this for me. I believe in you. My hope is you and you alone. My only hope for being saved is you, Lord Jesus, that you would do this on my behalf, that you have done it on my behalf. There's no greater way to honor Christ than to honor what he has done and who he is. And friends, I want to leave that with us this morning.